Thank you, class committee. Thank you, Class A speakers. Thank you, Christiane Amanpour, for joining us today. You look ravishing. And of course, thanks to each of you for coming out to test our dramatically expanded Outdoor Common Spaces initiative, now featuring 30,000 plastic chairs. Before I begin, though, I have a confession to make, a serious confession. While sitting here listening to these really amazing speeches, that's enough. It has occurred to me that I was meant to include cliched advice as a final half-baked afterthought thrown in at the conclusion of my reflections. I would like to caution you all, cliched advice was not originally part of my prepared remarks. Fortunately, I have spoken with Dean Hammonds, and she has graciously agreed to create a task force on cliched advice to formulate some recommendations. I encourage you all to peruse this report when it is scheduled to be released in August 2017. Now I will proceed with my original speech. First, I would like to say hey to all of you with a slight vertical head nod. Hey. This is in tacit acknowledgement that we once met during freshman week, and of course, this has been our customary greeting when crossing paths in the yard for the past 4 years. Typically, you respond, "What's up?" with a similar vertical head thrust, and absolutely zero intention to wait for my reply. And these conversations have been deeply rewarding for me. I feel immensely fortunate that we have been able to share countless moments like these ever since that first ice cream social, when you asked me whether or not I have any siblings, and then we made out 2 times. Today, however, I would like to extend that normal dialogue by for once actually telling you what is up. And when I say dialogue, I mean monologue. I will continue speaking for the next 4 minutes, and you will have no opportunity to respond. And also, in case this is at all unclear, if we ever by chance run into each other in the future, out shopping for private jets, or perhaps inside white-collar penitentiaries, we will, of course, return to the hey, vertical head nod, what's up, vertical head nod interactions, which have served us both so well for so long. No, in fairness, we may not have gotten to know each other perfectly well during our time here. A few of you, sure. But these true friends have already heard this speech 44 times and are no longer paying any attention. Nevertheless, every graduate sitting here today shares a collective experience that bonds us and differentiates us from the world of people beyond these gates, whom we are categorically better than across every conceivable metric. I am joking, of course. That is not entirely true. Researchers have shown that once they leave college, Yale graduates are uniformly better than us at musical theater and coping with life-wrenching failure. Unsurprisingly, they also cope very well when they fail to have anyone show up for their musical theater productions. In complete seriousness, though, we are a special group. We are the Harvard class of 2010. Woo! We share a lot. We share memories. We share ideas. We share cabs to Logan Airport. Compared to the general population, we share a statistically significantly lower incidence of sexually transmitted diseases. We also share an unusual appreciation for statistics jokes. We share dining hall utensils every day. I am not joking. We've all sucked on the same forks. They are on rotation. And hopefully, in the future, we will all share our incomes and vacation homes with those who generously entertained us here today by giving a Class A speech. My fellow graduates, we share a lot. I look out among you and I see a remarkably pale, disillusioned, sexually frustrated group of individuals. Why did we do this to ourselves? What did Harvard offer us that was worth this pain and suffering? I know what you're thinking. The people. Nope. Most Harvard students are D-bags. The real reason we all slog through this eternal sepulcher of undying misery and despair is because, of course, we learn a lot at Harvard, mostly useless crap. But every so often, we learn those quintessential Veritas-soaked life lessons that MIT graduates can only dream of having digitally implanted into their robotic brains. Lesson one. At Harvard, we learn that exclusive is always a synonym for awesome. With the rare exception of expository writing 10. Everything else becomes infinitely more appealing when you can bar a large portion of the population from ever participating. Look no further than the Lampoon, Final Clubs, Teach for America, and oh yeah, Harvard itself. For this reason, my next joke will be exclusive to my BlackBerry Messenger friends. Just the six of them. Give me 1 second. I'm actually typing this joke in binary, so I guess only half of you will be able to get it. And sent. That's a classic. I can hear the chuckles out there. Second lesson. At Harvard, I have learned that Beloco will pay you $1,250 to advertise their new strawberry kiwi smoothie in front of a captive audience of 10,000 people. Wow, that is delicious. Beloco, inspired smoothies. Now would be a great time to take a photo. Final lesson. We all learned to never trust anyone who ever went to Harvard. And yes, I realize that this completely nullifies everything I've said today. But the fact is that here, we learn to lie to everyone, even our best friends. For example, don't worry, investment banks love history of art and architecture concentrators. What? Of course I'm coming to your a cappella jam tonight. Even our emergency text messaging service can only be trusted 20% of the time. This all may be hard to swallow. You might say, wait, James, look, a message from the official UC president email account. This has to be trustworthy. And you would be wrong. And that's all there is to it, really. Fortunately, I think between these three lessons and all the fantastic cliched advice we've heard today, I think we are now perfectly prepared for the real world. Thank you and best of luck, class of 2010.